pray that we would not leave missions work overseas. God, I pray for our hearts in the fields that we are also in. And God, right now, it can all be so distracting. And I lift up all believers across the world as we sometimes wait for that next phone call that we don't want to get, or that next headline, or these things that continue to come at us, these things that you are allowing to come at us that have passed through your hands, but that can be so distracting to the work that you have for us and the things that you want us to walk in. God, we confess to you, allowing these things to overwhelm us, forgetting that you are Almighty God with every resource at your disposal. Forgive us for that. We confess apathy and a focus on our comfort. We confess putting our hope in temporal things, our hope in a vaccine, our hope in a political figure, our hope in just something fun with people. Our hopes are so low, and we confess them to you. Forgive us. Forgive us for setting our sights so low. And I pray that you would embolden us, knowing that you are the God, the only God, God Almighty, who is holy, yet gave your Son to save us. I just pray that you would embolden us with the fact that we can bring everything to you, and that you are working, and that we are different people because of the difficulties we go through. And may we cry blessing upon them, because you are working them for your glory above all. God, I want to lift up those that are needing to persevere. And as we look over the list of people that we've been praying for with different health concerns, God, you're looking for them to persevere in you. And as we pray for complete healing, we want that to be your healing. But we also pray for healing in our congregation of conflict and healing from a refusal to admit sin to one another and to come together. And we ask for just renewed vigor and perseverance, that we would push through the things that make it more difficult to connect and do what we need to do as a congregation. So I just pray that you would empower us to do those works as well, God. And I just pray that that we would continue to look to you as our only hope. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Lord bless you as you now share from your heart and the Word of God for us. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I thank you for the privilege to share our ministry and our heart for what God is doing, not just in Senegal, but around the world. And my hope is not that you would just hear a story about what happens overseas, but that your hearts would be moved, and that your hearts would be encouraged, and that you would say, how is God using us as a congregation? How is God using me as an individual here where we're at in Carlisle for his great name, not just here, but around the world? The theme of the missions conference that the National Office encourages us to use this year is the theme of unfinished. And they wanted us to tell, kind of show how the work isn't finished. And it was difficult for me when I looked at that theme because it was just interesting for us. Most of our programs ended in a very kind of succinct way, and most of our projects had a nice cap on it that we were able to pass it off well. And so we kind of ended complete, and it was just like, okay, what does this mean? And I spent a lot of time praying about it. And to understand what we mean when we say unfinished, we need to have an idea for what is that finished product. Because if I build an IKEA table and have no idea what the picture on the box is, I'm going to have this wobbly IKEA table with only like 2.5 legs. I need to have a strong vision of what it's going to finally look like. Otherwise, I might have legs sticking out of the top of it as opposed to underneath it. And it's the same way with us, only in a much greater, much more solid way than IKEA furniture, that we need to have a profound vision of what the finished product looks like. And then we will begin to understand what it means when we say the work is unfinished and needs to be completed. So with that, we're going to start by reading a very well-known passage. I'm sure we've all recited it 1,000 times. It's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, many of you don't even have to turn there. It is the Lord's Prayer. And when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he starts by saying, pray like this: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Today I would like to have us key in on this second verse of the Lord's Prayer. I fear that we gloss over it way too quickly to go to the give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts. But we gloss over and jump over, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is a tremendously huge prayer. This is an earth-shaking, society-transforming prayer. What does it mean when we say that God's kingdom has come? It means that his kingdom would become the dominant kingdom. It means that all of his wills and decree would be followed perfectly. And it means that God's kingdom has broken the rule of this broken and imperfect world. Those people who have the greatest impact in this world have been the people with the biggest vision of the kingdom of God. I'm moved by the abolitionists time and time again who fought the evil, unjust system of slavery in the early part of our nation. They had a big view of the kingdom of God. They had a big view of what it meant that we were all created in the image of God, and they were horrified by the idea that one person would consider another person their property. So they fought with all their might because they had a big view of the kingdom of God. And they transformed a world and broke an injustice. I'd like to share with you today a story of my dear friend Bernard Sisa, who has a big vision of the kingdom of God. So I'd like to share with you a little bit of his testimony, how he came to know Jesus and use his talents for the name of Jesus. When Bernard was a younger man, he has great talent, and he had great talent for music and art and singing, and he was passionate about his music, and he was starting to get traction in the music industry. He was starting to get fame. He was getting time on stage. He was touring all over the kind of the French-speaking world, and his name was getting out there. People started to know who Bernard Sisa was. But the danger of that kind of life is you start chasing the things that people who are chasing fame and popularity chase. And he started chasing those things. And it was starting to destroy him. But in the midst of it, God got a hold of his heart. God got a hold of Bernard's heart and said, "You are mine, Bernard Sisa." And Bernard, his heart was transformed, and he said, I don't want to be anybody else's. And he felt like God was saying, now is the season, now is the time, I want you to give up your music. I don't want you to sing, I don't want you to record, I want you to be done with music for right now. And if somebody said that to me at the height of my upcoming popularity, I would probably be like, what do you mean by give up? But not Bernard. He said, you know what? If I have you, Jesus, I don't need anything else. And he gave it up. Excuse me, he gave it up. He got off the stage. He started working for Wycliffe Bible Translators. His job was to transfer, make copies of CDs of books, audio copies of like the Bible and sermons and teachings. And he was a guy who'd sit kind of back in the closet and transfer the message from one DVD or CD to like 1,000. And he was learning a little bit about mixing and stuff during that time. But during that time, he also had somebody he was working for at Wycliffe who poured into him, who helped him gain a really strong foundation in Jesus Christ. And I like to stop here and encourage people, especially those who have been down the road a little bit further than others, that you have a great deal to offer, that you're never too old to be used by God, and that the people, the younger believers in Christ, the younger men and women coming up need those who have been down the road further to pour into them, to say, here's some of the pitfalls and obstacles I've been through. Here, let me walk through you as you go through this difficult season. Let me point you to Christ. And that's what this man did for Bernard. And after doing this for several years, learning about how to mix audio and things like that, God finally said, okay, now that you faithfully followed me, it's time for you to start making music again. But this time, it's not about the fame of Bernard Sisa. It's about the fame of me, your Lord and Savior. And Bernard said, oh, bring it on. Let's do this. So he took all of the money and the savings and everything he had and cut his first album. And it as they say, I think we're still allowed to say it in 2020, 2021, is it went viral. it went everywhere. And he started getting interviews on TV. He started getting, his song was playing on the radio over next to even secular songs and other places. It was, when I was in Senegal, you could push your grocery cart down the aisle and hear his music on the radio. And it was always cool because I'm like, I know that guy. And so... things started to take off because Bernard is now singing with a vision for the kingdom of God and the fame of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, God sent into his life people again to help him focus and train that vision so that they could have he could have the biggest impact to Senegal. One of my friends, a Dutch colleague of mine, who brought me in to meet Bernard, he met Bernard before, I can't remember the year, but he met Bernard and became Bernard's producer. Jan is from Holland, and he's actually Alliance from Holland, and so him and I worked a lot together. But so he had this love and passion that he shared with Bernard, and they wanted to make much of Christ in Senegal and in West Africa and this French-speaking world. Eventually, in 2018, I was brought in, and for a small event, I was at the end of my language learning. I wasn't very confident about my ability to speak French fluently, but they were doing an event, which I'll tell you about in just a second, called the Forum for International Christian Artists. But this event, I didn't know what I could offer. But I heard them talking, and they said their photographer couldn't make it for the whole event. I knew I had a camera, so I said, I've taught a class in college for photography. I could sling a camera around, and this way I can feel like I'm being useful. And it's something I enjoyed doing. And so Bernard said, yeah, let's have you do photography. And then after the event, I developed the pictures and showed it to him, and he said, you're my media guy. I said, what? I went to seminary, and I'm trained as a pastor and teacher, but I will be your media guy, because that will make much of Jesus. And it was just a small talent, a small passion that I had, and God used it in ways that I never even expected. And so I want to encourage everybody, especially young people, that the things that you have, you don't even know how God is using them right now, and will use them. And I also want to encourage young people, don't look out and say, what will I be when I grow up? But ask, how can God use me now for his kingdom? How can God use me now for his glory? And what talents and things do I have in my hand to offer him? So here's Bernard's vision. He wants to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to a people who need to hear it, who are in desperate need of that good news. He wants to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ in a language that people can understand. One thing I love about the Alliance is they put a strong emphasis that their international workers know the local language, know the heart language of the people, so they can speak directly to the people's hearts. But Bernard has this other talent that he can sing, and there's something about music, that music is a language unto itself. If I don't know if you've ever listened to on the YouTubes that there's a... sometimes they'll show what a movie is like without a soundtrack, and it's actually quite boring. That the soundtrack and the music communicate to our emotion and our soul in ways that words can never touch. And music is profoundly cultural. When it talks about us singing in heaven, it's going to be a wild concert. You're going to have music from Asia, you're going to have music from South America, you're going to have music from Africa and Europe, and I'm certain you're going to have punk rock up there, you're going to have rap music, you're going to have high hymns and Gregorian chant. You're going to have all these beautiful musics because they speak about the beauty of God, each in their own cultural, beautiful way. And it shows a greater picture. And Bernard understands that. And he wants that his music to be sung in a way that would touch the hearts of people. That if they were singing beautiful American songs, that it may touch, but it will touch a little bit deeper because it's spoken in the cultural language of music. One example of this is we have people who that were helping us, house help, our house helper, she was working with Jen, and they were doing stuff in the kitchen together. And Jen put on Bernard's music, and he was singing in the local language of Wolof. And our house helper's like, whoa, this is Senegalese music. And it's in Wolof. That's amazing. And Jen said to her, I'm learning a little bit of Wolof. I don't have all the words to understand. Could you teach me what Bernard is saying in this music? And she said, Bernard's saying, lay your burdens before Jesus. Lay your burdens before Jesus. And our house helper doesn't know Jesus just yet. And she's part of the majority religion there. But she's now translating the gospel to my wife because she was touched by the music. And then later, talking about kids, one of our kids got in trouble at school and had to be sent home early. And it was just interesting that it happened on the same day, because then Jen was able to go back to her and say, see, this is a burden I get to lay before Jesus, is this discipline issue that we now have and are having right now. And so now this music communicated culturally to her heart, and then we get to live it out before her, and she got to see what it meant that we were walking this path with Jesus. So it's Bernard's vision. He has a large vision for the people of Africa, that they would know and be able to sing and rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. So one of the events that we have is called it's called the Forum for International Christian Artists. And what we've done is we've invited Christian artists from all around the French-speaking world, specifically the African French-speaking world, to come to Dakar. And they get trained up in how to dance, how to sing, how to record music, how to produce music, how to be, comport yourself on stage, and technical aspects of singing and music and art. But more importantly, there's a huge discipleship component of it, is how do I use this gift of music to glorify God? How do I take this love I have for Jesus in my heart and show it in a way that's culturally beautiful and culturally expresses who Jesus is? And so here's some pictures from the event where there's some teaching going on. And then after, at the end of the day, we'd have concerts. The girl all the way to the left, she was singing about how she had gone through some burns on her face and how God's grace went with her through that trial. And it was the most touching song of the whole event. There were some big-name French singers that had come from Europe, and they were moved profoundly by her song that she was able to sing and perform and get make it even better at this event. And then the guys in the middle, they're a group, people's group called the Serrere, and they were kind of getting together, and they have a love for Jesus, but they weren't confident in their abilities. But this event gave them the confidence that we can record an album. We can do this. And so they recorded their first album and started distributing their first album locally around the area in Senegal, and they started to make a name for Jesus because of their faithfulness and their ability, and because they grew the strength or the confidence here at the event there in the, we call it the FIAC, from International des Artistes Chrétiens, or Forum for International Christian Artists. But God is using the things that the vision of Bernard to make impact in Senegal. Out of his apartment, Bernard started a little studio, and it started to grow, and people started recording there, and then it got to the point where either we had to close the studio because we couldn't do what we needed to, or we had to go and rent a bigger studio. And we stepped out in faith, prayed over it, and got a larger building that we were able to use as a studio. And now in this new studio, big artists in the West African scene are coming to the studio to record. They aren't Christians, but they know that who Bernard is and his love for Jesus. And so now he's not just impacting Christian artists, but artists all across the West African world. So here's my question for you today. After hearing kind of all the things that were happening, do you have a big view of God's kingdom? Do you have a big view of God's kingdom? When you pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, does that move you? When you see division and brokenness and injustice around you, is your heart broken because it doesn't this brokenness and injustice doesn't reflect the perfection and beauty and justice of our Lord and Savior? I want to challenge you this morning, have a big view of God's kingdom. Pray with confidence, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I warn you, this is a dangerous prayer. This is a profoundly dangerous prayer because there is an enemy to God who does not want his kingdom to come, who believes that Carlisle, PA belongs to him. He believes that this enemy of God thinks that Carlisle Alliance Church belongs to him. This enemy of God thinks Pennsylvania belongs to him, that the United States belongs to him, that Europe, South America, Africa, Asia belong to him. But it doesn't. It belongs to God. Satan does not want the kingdom of God to break through because he knows that his broken, evil reign and rule will be ended. So we need to pray all that much harder. But that means Satan's going to attack. Satan's going to push against that prayer. Satan's going to push against God's kingdom breaking through in our midst. And we need to be aware of that. In October of 2019, we were preparing for a concert called Jesus Only that we were singing open air in Senegal. And there were just several other things and ministries that were really getting traction. And Satan came against it. And in the month of October, every male member of our teams up and down the country got sick. I ended up having such a bad gallbladder attack that I had to be evacuated back to the States to have my gallbladder removed. Other countries in that area, we had pastors who were partners for and known by people on our teams who were kidnapped. And we prayed for them. I believe many of them were eventually returned and escaped. But Satan was fighting against the movement of God's kingdom. In the same month, there was one of our local partners who was just well known by everybody across in the government and in society. The people of the teachers of other religions would sit at his feet because of how wise and gentle this man was, and he led. He was a doctor and led the hospital in the area, and he was just, everybody knew him. He passed away just suddenly of a heart attack. In the same month, we had one of another International Alliance International worker. He was driving home one day, and a motorcyclist came around the corner and struck his vehicle and was killed. And so now we didn't know if he was going to be tried for manslaughter and be put in prison or expelled from the country. By God's grace, he was able to stay in the country, and he wasn't convicted. He was set free. But I tell you all of this because it's important to know that when we pray that God's kingdom will come, Satan will come against it. Do you think it's any mistake that we're all wearing face masks right now? Do you think it's any mistake that we've seen the turmoil and chaos we have the past year and some change? It's because Satan knows that God's kingdom is coming. Satan doesn't want God's church to be effective. He wants some squabbling over little things. He wants us to be complacent. He wants us to be afraid. He doesn't want us having a big view of a kingdom breaking through. He doesn't want us to have a big view of God's love for the lost in our community. He wants us to think of the building as the church, not the people who gather together in Christ's name. If God were to allow this building to be removed, would the church still remain? Yes, because you are the church, not the building. The building is a blessing. So the question is then, how do we as a congregation, as a church, as a people of God, go out into the world like it says in Matthew 28, going and making disciples? How do we see our community out there as people who need this good news, people who need to see a powerful kingdom breaking through in the midst of chaos? How do these people need to see that there is a heavenly Father that loves them? We've gone through a year where people have been divided, people have been isolated, and they don't know anymore that they are precious people created in the image of God. And they need to know that there is a God that loves them, and that they are created in His image, and that they are good, that they were created good, that they have a Savior who is walking alongside them if they would just reach out. So the questions we should be asking is how do we touch the humanity of the people around us to point them to our Heavenly Father? How do we be agents of God's kingdom breaking through in our midst? How do we have a view that's not about getting people into a building, but sending people out to transform the world so that it would look like God's kingdom? And I tell you, once we start sending people out, we'll get a taste for it. And then we'll start sending people out more and more and more, further and further and further, until every tribe, tongue, and nation has heard the good news of our Heavenly Father. The good news that the Son came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God again. And He rose again, proving that He had authority to do that. I've heard it said, and I would love to be in a place that proves it, that the best way to grow a church is to send as many people out as possible. So are you a church that has a big view of the kingdom of God? Are you a church that prays honestly, Matthew 6:10, that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because I believe if you pray that honestly from the depths of your heart, that you live it out, that we have a strong eternal kingdom coming and put all of our treasures in that kingdom, you will make such an impact in this world that history books will talk about it for years to come. And it won't be about Carlisle Lounge Church. It will be about the kingdom of God. So I'm going to finish with this last passage. It is Revelation chapter 19, and it is verses 11 to 16. This is my favorite passage in all the Bible, because it is the hope, that strong, powerful hope we have of God's kingdom breaking through and finally bringing justice. Revelation 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it called Faithful and True. Excuse me. In his righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire. On his head are many diadems. He has a name written that no one knows but he himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, and he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love this image. You know what's one of my favorite parts of this image? Is that the armies of the Lord are dressed in white and fine linen. After being living in the desert for a while, white and fine linen, it's really hard to get linen white when you're living in a desert. Especially back then, when they didn't have washing machines and soaps like we do today. They were going and they were standing behind this rider on the white horse in their dress uniform. I was in the army. You don't go to battle in your dress uniform. You don't go to fight in your dress uniform. You go to bear witness in your dress uniform. We will bear witness to the strength and the power and the justice and the beauty of our Lord and Savior on that day. We will go in our dress uniform because it will not be us that fights that battle, but him. That is why in Matthew chapter 6, after the Lord's Prayer, it says, if you forgive your brothers and sisters on earth, I will forgive you in heaven. If you do not forgive them, I will not forgive you in heaven. Because we have this ability to forgive those who hurt us. Because we look at it and we realize one of two things will happen to that injustice done against us. One, it has been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. Laid on his shoulders, the wrath of God poured out and forgiveness brought to us. Or else, if the person doesn't put their faith in Jesus Christ, it will be judged on that final day. Those injustices that never submit themselves to the cross of Jesus Christ will be judged on that final day. And so we can have confidence that it will be Jesus who will swing that sword and not us. So we forgive openly and freely like Jesus did to us. When we were still his enemies, he forgave us. when we were still broken in our sin, he healed us. And so I challenge you, with this view of our precious Lord and Savior, have a big vision for the kingdom of God. And imagine, fantasize about how amazing it would be to see his kingdom, his rule, his authority here in Carlisle, PA, as it is in heaven. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you for your goodness. I first off pray on my own heart, Lord, and confess that my vision of your kingdom is too small. My ability to invest in that kingdom is too small, Lord. And I just pray in my own heart that I would see your kingdom as great and big, and that I would put all of my trust and treasures in it, Lord. And I pray the same for this beautiful congregation, that they would have such a large vision of your kingdom and your beauty and your justice and your love and your grace and compassion, that there would be nothing that could stop them from proclaiming your beautiful name, being agents of your kingdom, heralding your arrival here on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray you would use them, and that we would see walls fall, broken bodies, sick bodies healed, injustices made just again, and that it would be all done in the name, the beautiful name that is above every name, Lord Jesus. Your name, in which I pray. Amen.